Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Sports to the max on the air. Baseball's back. Labor agreement reached. Twins on News Talk 830 WCCO. Dave St. Peter will join us a bit later to tell you, the fans, what you need to know. It's also the heart of the basketball season for those that are still left alive. Gophers got bounced last night. We've got some good high school basketball going on. And of course, the Timberwolves are on a roll. They're not a better guy to talk to about all the above than Terry Coonsey, longtime coach here, star at Duluth East back in the day, and a Gopher star, and a guy that loves basketball more than anybody I know. In fact, tonight we find him in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And you say, what's Terry doing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? Terry, what are you doing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
We're going to go to the regional tournament for the Division II teams. And
cool.
Minnesota's really doing well. They've got four of the eight spots locked up. They had the one seed, the two seed, the three seed, and Moorhead won the tournament, so they got the four seed. And so it'll be interesting to see how good the outstate teams are.
Who's the best team you've seen in the NSIC so far?
Well, I would, you know, UMD's had a great year. They're like 24-5, but they lost a good player. I hope he plays. But Augustana is rated number 5 in the country,
yeah.
And I think they're like 25-3. They got upset by Moorhead in the tournament, and that allowed Moorhead to make the brackets, and Augustana goes because they're rated number 1, and they get to host the tournament.
Yeah, they got that Wrench kid coming, Sam Wrench from Hutchinson. I saw him a couple weeks ago. He's a good player.
They got more than that. They got Ingrid from 6'9" from Edina. They got
who did they get from Edina?
6'5" guard from Ingrid, the 6'9" forward.
Okay.
And they got McDonald from Hibbing.
Yep.
And
coach's kid,
the big kid from was Logie? Is it Logie from
From Morris?
Yes, they got him too.
Dad is
so
good.
They're loaded. They've got. But what might happen though is they may get rated by D1s after 1 year through the portal. You know that.
Yeah, I hear you. So if you're the Gophers, Terry, and you see what you just saw this season, and you know a lot about the recruiting class with Farrell coming in, Carrington, et cetera, I think they got to go heavy on the portal to be competitive next year. What do you think?
I don't think anybody can win with freshmen anymore, Mike, because there's too much movement of the seniors, and you need maturity. But I'm gonna tell you something. Payne is a Big Ten player. I'm not
Park Cottage Grove kid. Yep, Farrell Payne. Yep.
And I think Carrington is going to start at the point. He's 6'5". He's a great shooter. Plays within the system. Great defender. He has really got potential. I think his upside is maybe NBA. I really like the kid. I've seen him 5 or 6 times. Yeah.
He lets the game come to him too, doesn't he?
That's right. You know, they get a blowout 90-40, and he's right with everybody else, 18, 19 points.
Yeah.
But they, as a team, Mike, they probably got the best defense I've seen in 10 years.
That good, huh?
Yeah, believe me.
Well, that point guard they got is going to San Jose. It's a Tim Miles, pretty good too.
I know they've got at least three D1s, and they've got a, you know, Makeda was there the other day, so they're loaded. They just suffocate you. They're 6'5" and long, and they run the floor, and they're unselfish, and they're going to be a tough out in the tournament.
Well, I tell you, as you look at that boys' tournament in the sections, Totino Grace got beat last year by Minnehaha Academy in the section final. It could have been a state championship game at any class. Now this year they're in there with Columbia Heights. Columbia Heights has been as good as anybody in the state in any class. How do you see that one,
Mike? Grace has probably more talent than anybody in the state. They go at 6'10", 6'9", 6'8". They got a 5-star junior guard at 6'5".
Jason Chatham, yeah.
They got a 6'5" other four. And they played, Elk River played them with three overtime game.
Yep.
There's something wrong there. They're just not playing. I went to the Caledonia's is Division II, you know.
Yes,
and Caledonia played at them at Grace. Grace was up 50-30 at half and lost by one to Caledonia.
How good is that King kid that's playing at Caledonia?
He's a good athlete. I question whether he's a point guard, but he's a real good athlete. Not very big. I thought he might be bigger. He's 6'3". And I think he might have trouble at Iowa State, and depending on where they're playing. You know, you get to that level. Grace has got a kid by the name of Watkins.
Demarius Watson.
Big-time shooter.
Yep.
I mean, big-time, Mike. But, you know, he's allergic to the rebound. He doesn't get any rebounds. He just kind of waits for his three-point shot. But, I mean, he's an athlete, great defender, too. So, they've got some players. You know, they've got the Lee kid going to St. Thomas, and St. Thomas picked up the big kid from Wayzata.
Yep.
And they got a really good player in blue at Eastridge.
Yeah. And so they got Dre Dobbs to transfer back from Liberty.
Yes, but remember this, he was not playing a lot at Liberty. So, you know, the transfer portal is really good. You know, sometimes you don't click with the coach. Sometimes a lot of things come up. Maybe you're behind one guy. And, you know, the transfer portal is the way to go. And I tell you what, it's really tough on coaches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be tough how you handle your 7th, 8th, and 9th man.
Oh, yeah.
He could leave. And the way it is right now on a big-time program, Mike, if you don't start as a freshman, you better leave because you're probably never going to start unless you're 6 or 7 foot and you get better. But college basketball has become a business, Mike.
Well, no, but that's why the Gophers are going to have to go out and get some big guys, right? I mean, they're going to have to get some 6'9", 240-type guys to play in the Big Ten next year from the transfer portal, I think.
But I'll tell you what. I really believe Ben will get it done. I just really believe he will. I think he's recruited. I don't know how good the kid from Osseo is that he recruited.
Yeah, he went to prep school, yeah.
But I think he, you know, when these schools hire coaches like the Gophers, you've got to hire an assistant.
Yep.
Because the assistant knows all the AAU program people, right?
And that'd be Dave Thorson.
He knows how to recruit. He's in the mix. And all these great coaches at one time were hired as assistants.
Yeah.
And I think Mark made a good hire. And I think Ben will get it done. I think Thorson is a great bench coach. I like them. And I think with what they had, they could do better, Mike. You can't play guys 40 minutes and not losing the last five. The legs get tired. And so I just thought they had a great year for what they had. And I think, you know, they were competitive in many games till the end. And I think that Ben is too good a recruiter, and I think they're working awful hard.
Yeah, who's this kid at Jefferson, the sophomore? The best sophomore in the state the other day. He scored 40 the other night for Jefferson.
Yeah, he's been scoring that way all year. Pre-Kang, I think.
Yeah, he's
you know, we've got good players in the state. Trevor Winters' kid's a good player at Lakeville.
Yeah. Now, you got to beat Wisconsin for him, right? I mean, because Wisconsin has come into the south suburbs and just wreaked havoc on the Gophers. They just steal what they want with those big guys.
It, Patino couldn't recruit anybody. I think Ben Johnson's going to do well in the state of Minnesota, and I just think that we. I'll tell you the player that's really changed and improved is Prince Olegbe from Minnehaha.
Yeah, go
to
really BC.
I believe he will be the starting forward for Boston College next year.
Yeah, he's averaging 28.5 a game. And of course, Kerry Coonsey is our guest basketball extraordinaire. But Minnehaha lost, and then the point guard Masterpiece kid left in the middle of the season, huh?
They had some problems. Yeah, and also, who's the Gopher basketball player that kid played for Minnehaha? Football player. He didn't go out.
You mean Randy Carter's kid. Yeah, he went early to play football at Michigan State. Yeah.
I saw the Minnehaha and Park Cottage Grove game.
Yeah.
And both Payne and Olegbe had 31 apiece.
Ooh, that's playing, man. Why is Wisconsin back and so good this year? I thought they were ready to take a dive.
You know, Mike, if you look at their personnel, they're not that good. I don't know how they do it. They might be guys doing a great coaching job. You know, they've got one big-time player, and Davis, who is a big-time player.
Yep.
But other than that, I mean, the other guys aren't great players, but they just, you know, what they do, they get you into this, you walk it up here and I'll walk it down there, and we'll take our time and use it 35 seconds and shoot it, and pretty soon you don't have many shots, and a missed shot starts to take its toll because you're afraid to miss them. And they get you in that kind of a walk-up game, and they're good at it. They control the ball. They don't turn the ball over. But they're a team that could get beat in the first round.
Sure they could. They could get beat by a 10 seed, you know, one of those things.
That's right.
Thing. But
yeah.
How do you recruit? To, you know, most kids want to get up and down and whatnot. How do you sell that?
Well, what kids has it recruited that wants to get up and down?
That's what you do. You recruit kids that don't need to get up and down, huh?
No. He doesn't have any of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. But you know, they're effective. They're hard to prepare for, and they're on the boards. And got to give them credit. They're tough.
Kerry Coonsey is our guest. You know, when the Gophers look at the transfer portal, everybody always looks for Minnesotans. Kerwin Walton sitting out there at North Carolina, and he was really good at Hopkins, and he's had some ups and downs there. Would he be the kind of guy you'd look to?
I would look for him. And the other guy to look for, you're forgetting Garcia.
Garcia's playing for North Carolina as well.
Well, Garcia left. He had some illness in the family.
He did not finish
the year there. I think there's a guy that you should focus on. Where do you find 6'9", 6'10", that can play?
Oh, they're talking about him being a first-round pick when he went to Marquette.
I'm sure that they've got to be recruiting him. We're not going to know who they're recruiting. They do what they got to do. They don't say a lot because they don't want anybody else to know. But I really believe they're going to bring some people in that are decent.
As a former college coach, what were your impressions of Mike Krzyzewski as his career winds down?
Well, when you're in that business for as long as Mike is and are still sane, it's quite a tribute. He's had a great career, I don't think there'll be another one like him. The respect he commands. Coached at all levels, coached the Olympic team, and really kind of a fiery guy. A friend of mine was at one of his clinics, and he doesn't horse around. When he gets the coaches at the table, they say, who's our three men? Give me the three men. He put them on the board. He doesn't take he's a tough nut.
Yeah.
To stay on top. Remember, it's always easier to get on top than to stay on top.
That's right. And he's 75 years old.
That's right.
I'll tell you what, he's done a pretty good job of recruiting Minnesota, hasn't he, over the years?
Yes, he has.
He's got Theo John there right now.
He does his homework, you know. The thing of it is, recruiting now is just, it's slanted too much to the big-time programs. You know, where they cut contacts, when you can see a kid, when you cannot see a kid, how much contact you can have with a kid. And that only makes it better for the big programs, because the smaller programs, you know, they get a kid. Believe it or not, a lot of kids go to school because of the assistant coach, not the head coach.
Sure.
A lot of them.
The relationship, right?
That's right. And it's harder to have a relationship. And I think the other thing that kills it is you know, the internet and Facebook and all that stuff. It's a different era today, Mike.
How long before St. Thomas is competitive, do you think, in their league?
Well, I that is not really a strong league, Mike.
Yeah.
I would think that, you know, they were competitive with some teams early, and what they did, they had some great shooters.
Yes.
But they were not great athletes. They were great shooters. And what teams did, they started letting the post go one-on-one and didn't get off the shooters until they had trouble scoring down the road. But I think probably 3 or 4 years, and you know, if this kid that they've got now develop, they can play with most of those teams.
It's just a question of getting some big guys like everybody else, but they'll have no trouble getting guards, huh?
Well, the thing about guards, I love Blue from Eastridge because he's 6'6" and does everything the 6-footer can do.
Yeah.
Plus, you can switch on him. You don't have to worry about him switching on a forward. I think it's always best to get the biggest guard possible that can play, do the things a little guard can do. But, he's a good coach, and, you know, they shoot the ball well, but his team's going to change. He's got a 6'9 and a 6'10 coming in, Mike.
Yeah. Yep. And
a 6'6. And a 6'6.
And that'll change things quickly. Last question for Terry. They honored the 40 years later, the 1982 Big Ten Championship team. You recruited a lot of those guys in the number one recruiting class in the country at the time. If I was to say, okay, Mark Hall, Leo Routens, Trent Tucker, Gary Holmes, Daryl Mitchell.
And remember this, we had Kevin Stallings, too. He left.
Kevin Stallings, too. Okay, who was the best coming out of high school of those guys you recruited?
I would say Routens.
Routens was coming out of high school.
Probably the best, most recruited player in America when he came out. You know, he's 6'7", 6'8" guard, and he left when I went to East Carolina. He left Minnesota.
Yep.
And that, you know, I was recruited him. I don't think a day went by that I did not talk to him, or he got something in the mail. And the big joke was I always said, Leo, remember this. We're going to give you number 11. That's the number he wanted.
Yeah.
And we were lucky to get him. You know, there were everybody wanted him.
Would Mark Hall have been an NBA player?
He could have been, yes.
He was that good?
He was a tremendous athlete. Suspect shooter.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like King. King is a very good athlete, Mike. But again, he's a little bit of a suspect shooter, too. You know, in today's game, you have to shoot.
Got to shoot.
The game's changed.
Part of it, yep. Hey, Terry, you got to get into that game, but I appreciate it very much. We'll do it again soon. I just love your wealth of knowledge. Thank you so much. Have a good time tonight.
Hey, thank you, Mike. You take care. Nice talking to you.
You too. Terry Kunze, the one and only. I love tapping into those people that really know the game. He knows the game a way that most people don't know the game. And that's why it's fun to visit with Terry Kunze, because he goes out and watches all these games. And he was a really good player, so he understands what it's like to play the game. Back after this. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Major League Baseball, the Minnesota Twins are back in business. Collective bargaining agreement reached. Twins will commence spring training with players reporting on Sunday, and away we go. Joining us, Twins President Dave St. Peter. And Dave, I know this has been a long time coming for you as you make plans and redesign and all those things. Did you get a pretty good feel this week that it could be coming to an end or close? Or, well, how did you feel?
Hey, Mike, it's good to be with you tonight. Yeah, you know, I think we were frankly pretty optimistic a week ago that we were on the cusp of a deal. But coming into this week, when we saw some of the momentum with some of the back and forth, I was convinced we had a deal yesterday, to be honest. And the fact that it didn't manifest itself in a deal was just an incredible gut punch, not, you know, for us, but I can only imagine how fans felt about it. But to the union's credit, I think that, you know, they ensured that the negotiations didn't end there and pushed really hard over the course of the night and into the day, and we got to a better spot around some really important topics. So really happy we got a deal done. We're able to do it in a way that preserves 162 games and really little impact here in Minnesota. We're going to open the season on April 7th. It'll be opening day.
That's a Thursday, right?
We're always scheduled to open on April 7th. So really no change for our fans here in Minnesota. And we have work to do as a team, and I think the next 3, 5, 7 days are going to be unprecedented in Major League Baseball. More than 300 free agents will need to sign. I think you'll see a number of trades. And you mentioned players reporting Sunday. We expect a good chunk of our players to be in camp as early as tomorrow. In Fort Myers, and we can't wait to see him. Let's get going.
Now, David. So basically, if you have a twin schedule for example, does it just start on April 7th? Wherever you happen to land on April 7th is where it starts. And where do you make up the game? What happens here? I mean, is it the schedule as you know it? If you look at it, except for the first week.
Yeah. For regular season, that is accurate. So really, the only thing that needs to be rescheduled is the first week. We had 3 games to open the season in Chicago against the White Sox. Those games are going to be moved to the end of the season. So we'll play 3 games in Chicago to conclude the regular season on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then the games we were scheduled to play the Guardians in Cleveland. It's my understanding are going to be made up over the course of the season when we visit Cleveland. I expect we're going to play some doubleheaders or look for some mutual off days, et cetera. So more info on those games to come in the next couple days. And I might add we will have a completely new spring training schedule. So,
oh, that's going to be redone completely, huh?
Schedule. Yeah, it will be. It will be. And we'll play 18 spring training games, 9 at the Lee County Sports Complex, 9 on the road. It'll be a regional-type schedule, so a lot of games against Boston and Tampa and probably Atlanta, who now called Northport home. So we expect to start spring training games on March 18th. So that information will come out in the next day or so as well.
Okay. Of the rules that you saw, the DH goes to the National League, 2 9-inning games instead of 7-inning on doubleheaders, some of that stuff. Was there anything that struck you as this is something the fans are really going to be interested in terms of a rule change that will either change the way they view a game or change, you know, the way they watch transactions and everything else?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things. I do think the universal DH is long overdue. I think expanded playoffs are going to be great. I think the format is wonderful. I know we talked about 14 teams. We landed at 12. I think it's still going to be great. And I think it's going to create opportunities, maybe even in Minnesota, for teams to make the postseason and get on a run. One little thing, Mike, that hasn't gotten a lot of publicity is the schedule next year will be less, even more unbalanced in the sense that we're going to play every team in baseball once. So you're going to see the Twins play every team in the National League and every team in the American League. So the schedule will change. And each and every year we'll play the Dodgers. Each and every year we'll play the Giants. It'll rotate whether we play them in L.A. or San Francisco. But I think that's a smart move. It gives our fans ability to see every team in baseball every season. And over the course of 2 years, you'll see everybody come to Target Field.
Yes, that's kind of like the NBA or the wonderful NHL that way, right? I mean, you play in your division, but you can play everybody.
That's right. And then in addition to that, and this did get some publicity, the ability for the commissioner for baseball to make rule changes. So you're going to see this in 2023 and a lot of discussion around pitch clocks, a lot of discussion around shifts. Those things are, I think, could be really impactful around pace of play and infusing more action into our games and moving games along at a swifter pace, which is something that I think everybody would agree is a worthwhile effort.
Dave St. Peter is our guest. So in essence, what that does is give him the power without having to go through negotiating it to say, this is what's best for baseball and I'm going to make this decision. Is that in essence what he has now?
Yeah, I think he has to give 45 days notice. Mm-hmm. For the 2023 season. So rest assured, the commissioner is going to try to work with players. He's going to work through the competition committee to talk about these things and to try to implement them in a way that has player input. But you know, I think these are things that all the polling shows, all the data from the minor league show where these things have been tested, that there's some meaningful benefit to these rules. And I think that for baseball's sake, it's important that we try to be more progressive and look at these things. And change is hard. Change is hard at every level, but it's particularly hard in baseball, a sport that's so rooted in tradition.
Yeah, it's funny. We had Jim Cott on earlier, and of course, you know Jim very, very well, and he has different views on different things, and he'd like to see a seven-inning game, or he'd like to see the ball dead and the bat dead, and then the advantage, you know, get to the pitchers, and you'd have a shorter game, et cetera. But how does it work, Dave? Are all those things in play all the time, or are they constant conversations with the commissioner, or is it one of those things where you start it there, then you run it through the minor league, see how it plays out? How do you end up at a rule change?
Well, I do think the minor leagues is a tremendous laboratory, so to speak, and it's one of the benefits of the new minor league system that we have that falls really as part of One Baseball in partnership with Major League Baseball. You know, those ideas are always being kicked around at the ownership level inside of baseball with the competition committee, and that includes a lot of presidents or general managers and owners. But in addition to that, I think one of the things that will come of this will be more, hopefully, more collaboration and input from players. There's a new committee that's going to be formed to study the international draft, as an example. And I'm really excited about that, because for us to really move the game to where it needs to be moved, we need incremental alignment between Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball Players Association. We need a partnership. And for that to happen, you have to work together. You have to collaborate. You have to have give and take. And I think over time, I'm hoping this agreement allows for some process that can help that relationship. And I think those committees are going to be part of the solution.
And we see Paul Molitor getting more active with the Twins on the field, and he's gone to spring training or to minor league facilities last year. What's his role going to continue to be? Because it looks like he's staying active with the players.
Yeah, Paul's in Fort Myers as we speak. He's working with our minor leaguers again this year, and you know, Paul wants to be part of our organization. He wants to impact young players. You know, we know he has an impact. We value him in so many ways. He had a tremendous session over the weekend with Rocco Baldelli and comparing notes and talking about ways that we can maybe think about breaking through things around base running or things around watching pitchers who might tip pitches. Things that Paul Molitor was a savant at. So, Paul is a very trusted figure within our organization, and to his credit and to Derek Falvey's credit, I think they see the bigger picture here, and I couldn't be more thrilled to have Paul Molitor part of the Twins. He makes us better.
Now obviously tonight, and I assume, I can't remember what the exact time is. I'm sure Derek's on the phone as we speak, but what's going to happen here free agent-wise, and what do you anticipate from the Twins?
Well, the moratorium, so to speak, was lifted at about, shortly after, about 6 o'clock Central, I would guess.
Yeah.
So, Derek, Thad, Levine, our entire baseball operations group has been gathered in Fort Myers waiting for this day. They've been scenario planning really for the last few months, getting ready to hit the go button on a plan to go shore up this team. So, obviously pitching is the primary focus, but it isn't the only focus. I think you'll see I know there's going to be a lot of contact made with agents around free agents, but also with other teams about potential trade fits. And, we have work to do. We've said that from the start. And, our ownership has been great. And I think Derek feels he has the resources necessary to go out and put this team in a position where we can compete in the American League Central and hopefully be in a position to surprise some people and ultimately find ourselves competing for the postseason come September.
I mean, is this a situation where you think, like, by the weekend you'll have six new big league players, or how fast and furious will this move?
You know, Mike, possibly. You know, we've never been here before. You know, we've never experienced a window quite like we're in. I think it's going to be fascinating for fans. I think there will be a flurry of activity. There's some big-name free agents still on the board. There's a lot of good players still on the board. Some teams are looking to cut payroll. Some teams are looking to spend. So, it's going to be a really interesting dynamic, and certainly some of the new rules, that have been approved in the CBT are going to play a role as well. So, You know, what I like to say is buckle up. You know, it's going to be a fascinating time, and I expect the Twins to be, you know, in the center of it.
And for people that are going to go down for spring training, you know, they already got their spring break planned, et cetera. They're always on there. So you just need to kind of pay attention to the schedule. But there'll be practices starting this weekend going forward, and then a revised schedule coming soon.
That's correct. And our minor leaguers are right there working out right now. So a lot of our top prospects are there. But I expect most of our big leaguers to be in camp over the next couple of days, all of them by Sunday. Obviously, we're going to be adding to the roster per the recent this conversation. But and then game starting on March 18th. And we'll probably play generally about every other day at home. And then when we're playing on the road, we're going to be playing close over at Boston, which is also in Fort Myers.
Yeah.
Tampa, probably in Port Charlotte and Atlanta and Northport. So, but our complex, Mike, as you know, is wide open. It's very accessible for fans, and I would encourage fans to stop by. We look forward to seeing them there.
Last question. I mean, you've seen some taxing business years here from where you sit because of the uncertainty of COVID and then the uncertainty of the labor stoppage. What is it like at your offices today, just as you reconfigure the group packages and the season tickets?
Today was a good day, Mike. You know, baseball people are, you know, they operate on clocks, right? And if you've been in the game for any length of time, you get to mid-February and you're ready to get going. So for our folks, the starts and stops have been frustrating, but today was a good day. We get to protect the integrity of our schedule, so no changes to our schedule. We get the opening day to plan for on April 7th. We're hopeful that our team is going to take shape in the next couple weeks, and we got tickets to sell. Single game tickets will go on sale for the first time on March 17th. And we couldn't be more thrilled to be in business, particularly when you think about the last couple of years, COVID, no fans in 20, and then in 2021, we opened the season with limited fans. So this is the first real traditional, normal home opener we will have had since 2019.
All right, one last question.
That's a good deal.
I just got one last one that's purely personal, professional. What's the access going to be like for the media now in this kind of post-COVID kind of not era? Do you know?
You know, Mike, I'm optimistic that it's going to take a significant step back towards 2019, which would mean more normal times. We'll see more info in the days to come around any protocols. But I think we're heading in a direction that's going to provide a greater level of access to players, which I think is a good thing, not just for the industry and for media, but also for the players.
For sure. David, it's good to talk to you. We're talking about something good. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch soon.
All right, my friend. Be well.
You too. Dave St. Peter, nice enough to join us. The Twins are back. So is Major League Baseball on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Sports to the Max. News Talk 830 WCCO. Minnesota Twins return to action April 7th right here on WCCO, the home opener. Yes, the Twins take on somebody. I don't know, but the important thing is they're playing again. And now the free agent frenzy begins. Is that going to be something like they've never seen? I just wonder. Everybody's got the template for the deals that they're going to offer. Everybody knows how much money. Everybody knows whoever it is that you can talk to, they've talked to. I don't know if you're allowed to talk to an agent or not, but they all know. And they're within a certain parameter of what they think the value is on that player. But I just wonder if somebody's going to upset that apple cart. Carlos Correa is sitting out there, the shortstop for the Houston Astros. And they came into town 2 years ago, beat the Twins in the playoffs. Remember that best of three during the COVID year? It was weird. You're over there, and it's, you know, there's nobody in the stands, and it's a playoff game. Zach Greinke's pitching. But I remember this Carlos Correa, I hadn't really watched that closely. And it's funny because I don't know a lot about what scouts look for. We're going to visit with Craig Sarner, the NHL scout extraordinaire, for a long time, coming up in the next hour. But there are certain things that just stand out to you. And when Carlos Correa walks out of the dugout and he's ready to either take infield or take hitting, you look at him and you say, that's the guy, man. That's the guy. I don't know who that is right there, but that's the guy. He's the one. He's the one that you build this thing around. And that's exactly the way he plays the game. Long and lean, and he's going to take it. There's a chance he could hit a home run to win the game. There's a chance he could turn a double play to win the game. He's going to make everybody around him better, but he's the guy. And when he walks out onto the field, you can see he's the guy. And it'll be interesting to see where he ends up. I mean, anybody'd love to have him. I don't think the Twins would be in the bidding war for him, but anybody would love to have that guy because he takes batting practice and you watch him, he's not fazed by anything. And he's getting his work in, but there's a confidence that transmits. And then he goes down the line, you see him working on things, and you see him when they're taking infield, and the ball just explodes out of his hand when he needs to make a play. And, they beat the Twins two straight that year. I don't know that he was the key to it, but you felt like he was going to beat you. That's what you felt like all the time, because that's what he does for a team. I mean, Nelson Cruz liked it, only somewhat limited because he's a designated hitter. You walk into the clubhouse, you go, that's the guy. Don't know who that is, but that's the one. That's the guy. That's the leader. That's the one everybody's looking at. And he's not saying a word, but that's the one everybody's looking at him. Jack Morris, when he was pitching, he walked out into the field. You go, there's the guy, man. There's the ace. I'm not sure who that is, but I know he's the ace. Because from the time he puts his hat on and walks out, I can see he is the ace, man. I can see that he is all business. I can see that he's setting the tone for this staff. That was Jackson, man. When we come back, Craig Sarner. Quite a day of high school hockey. It's including a 5-goal performance. So how do you rate these players, and how do you begin to break them down, and do the Gophers have a chance? Craig watches it all. He's like Terry Kunze, only hockey. We'll talk to him about it when we come back.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in, here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.